The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus called the crowd to him and said to them, "Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles." Then the disciples approached him and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said?" He answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone, that they are blind guides of the blind. And if one blind person guides another, both will fall into a pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain this parable to us." Then he said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. From out of the heart comes evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile." Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In getting at our gospel lesson today, I think it's helpful if we get some context in how tradition is understood, used, and even abused. One of my favorite quotes that I've shared many times comes from theologian Yaroslav Pelikan when he said, "Tradition is the living faith of the dead. Traditionalism is the dead faith of the living." And I believe in Matthew's gospel in chapter 15, Jesus is contending with traditionalism. Now, for context, I think it's important to get those nine verses that precede our gospel lesson today. "Then the Pharisees and the scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, 'Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands before they eat.' He answered them, 'And why do you break the commandment of God? For the sake of your tradition. For God said, honor your father and mother, and whoever speaks evil of father or mother must surely die. But you say that whoever tells father or mother, whatever support you might have had from me is given to God. Then that person need not honor the father. So for the sake of your tradition, you make void the word of God, you hypocrites. Isaiah prophesied rightly about you when he said, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines.'" Now, the tradition of the elders was an oral code of biblical interpretation that typically intensified the law. In this instance, it was dealing with hand washing. Now, Jesus rejects hand washing as human law and calls the Pharisees and scribes out for picking and choosing what they want to emphasize and what they want to ignore, and how easily they too break God's commandments. Jesus tells them that you break God's commandment to honor father and mother by giving to religious institutions instead of using that money to care for them. Now, I don't care who you are, where you lived, what time period you lived in as a Christian. Individually and collectively, we all do the same thing. We negotiate with the scriptures, and we emphasize and intensify some instructions, and we ignore others. It's what we do. It's why it is convicting to hear these words from Isaiah. This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me. In vain they do worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines. And we don't always think of it this way, but the Bible is part of Christian tradition. And we often take the Bible and use it to emphasize human principles, while our hearts are far away from God and far away from the way of Jesus. So that scene with the Pharisees and the scribes goes right in to our gospel lesson today. After he has that back and forth with the Pharisees and scribes, he calls the crowd together to explain the heart of the matter here. That what truly defiles a person is what comes out of them. What impacts our neighbor and community is not our ritual or lack of rituals, but it's how we live our lives in following the way of God. Those evil intentions that come from the heart that Jesus mentions are all actions that just don't harm ourselves. They harm other people. How our lives and actions impact those around us are more important than the rituals we think make us pure and holy. Because if those rituals that we engage in don't transform us to consider our neighbor, then Jesus would say they're empty. It's just lip service to God. Now, this should even give us some context to Jesus' encounter with the Canaanite woman here in Matthew's gospel. In Mark's gospel, it's a Syrophoenician woman. But we get some context here. And I tend to agree with scholars like N.T. Wright that this encounter that Jesus has with the Canaanite woman may be filled with banter and satire. He just has this argument about weaponizing tradition, followed by an explanation that we heard today about what defiles a person. You think all of a sudden Jesus is going to forget and neglect his own teaching? Now, if I'm a disciple of Jesus at this time, and I'm telling Jesus, send her away, forgetting everything I just heard, and now I see Jesus engage this person, I'm not only going to feel uncomfortable, but I'm going to see very quickly how harsh my beliefs are when they're pushed to the logical conclusions. That if the disciples had their way, this woman's daughter would continue to suffer. And they would just go on their merry way. They don't have to engage her. They don't want to engage her. But Jesus takes their beliefs and says it right to this woman's face. It's one thing to think that someone's undeserving of something. It's another thing to say it to their face. Jesus goes as far to essentially say that your daughter, you and your daughter are nothing more than dogs. Now again, because we don't know tone when these conversations are taking place. It could very well be playful here, in which Jesus is showing the disciples just how cruel and ungodly their beliefs are when inflicted on someone. And then the faith of this woman comes to light. There's something inside of her that knows God is for everyone. That she and her daughter are not to be excluded from the kingdom. That at the very least, they're entitled to crumbs. That in her desperation, she turns to Jesus and trusts his promise and ability to heal. And what does Jesus say? Woman, great is your faith. Remember, if you were here last week, I mentioned how all those in Matthew's gospel with little faith are the disciples. They're the insiders. They have little faith, but it's the outsiders in Matthew's gospel that demonstrate great faith. What defiles us is when we use tradition and scripture to tell us that we are righteous and that we can go around dehumanizing others in this world. What defiles us is that when we think we can pervert our faith to justify the neglect and harm of our neighbor in this world. What defiles us when we think we can rationalize the exclusion of other people from God's kingdom and God's table. Now, I think another dimension that we miss when we hear this gospel lesson is that we may read this, as I said just before, and think that put ourselves in the place of the disciples, put ourselves in the in-group. And that's helpful for us to ponder here, because we need to be called out and convicted in how guilty we are in honoring God with our lips, but our hearts being far away. But we forget that if we existed in this context, we would be the ones compared to the dogs. We are predominantly a Gentile church, a non-Jewish church today. We're part of the lost sheep of the house of Israel, but we are adopted into the fold through the love of God in Jesus Christ. And the new covenant gives us all more than just crumbs, but life everlasting and a place at God's table forever. Jan Sanredam says this, when we feel that our life has gone to the dogs, when we feel forgotten and ignored, betrayed and humiliated, it is just for people like us, for all of us whose lives have gone to the dogs, that Jesus has something to say to each of us. You're always welcome at my table. And it's on the cross that we see Jesus dehumanized, that his life has gone to the dogs, certainly no better than dogs. And it is in the resurrection that love prevails. Love prevails in saying that we no longer, God calls us to no longer dehumanize humanity, but raise humanity to new life. No longer is there a desecration of God's creation, but in the resurrection, bringing all of God's creation to new life, making all things new, bringing us all into a full communion with God, and the restoration of God's creation is what we get in the resurrection and the love that prevails through the cross. So we don't just have a word to hear. We don't just have a word to say, but we have a word to live by. That God loves you. That our God welcomes you. That there is a place for you at God's table and in God's kingdom where we are fed with more than just crumbs. We're given the bread of heaven and the cup of salvation, the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in communion with the saints of every time and every place. It is a foretaste of the feast to come, but it brings healing. It brings wholeness. It brings salvation to us, more than a reminder, because we are filled and fed with the living God. We don't just confess God with our lips, but we consume the word, Jesus Christ. And we are transformed into the body of Christ for this world, where all may know through the love of Jesus that there's a place for them in God's family, where they can get their fill, where mercy and new life is what God offers to each and every one of us. So, beloved children of God, may our living faith point to and share the love of Jesus, whose faithfulness gives us all a place with God, now and forever. Thanks be to God. Amen.